participate. It's not even half. And I would suggest that actually the ones that don't participate are the ones that feel disenfranchised and not able to participate in these sort of structures. So I think there's some, we're well aware of inherent structural barriers. So this is a model which actually you have the power to enact and can deal with those.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Anna, for your full, very full and knowledgeable submission. And I was very delighted to see the photos up there of the whole heap of young people there. Do you feel through the proposal, the Te Aroha proposal, there will be more engagement, particularly by young voting people, by young Te Aroha?
It's my hope that there will be. I think what I've found through this process is that the proposal offers a different ways of engaging with the community, which potentially you haven't looked into before. So, for instance, when I decided to try and take this to the people, lots of people actually at the community level were unaware that it was happening, hence why I did the social media approach, because that's where our young people are and that's how they engage. They don't necessarily read the paper or buy the paper. Print media is decreasing in uptake, so I think it offers the opportunity to have different faces that can actually connect and link in with different communities.
Then Councillor Stewart.
Thank you, Worship, and thank you very much, Anna, for coming along and giving us your viewpoint. I just wondered, what you think about some of the thoughts that have been expressed to date have suggested that Te Aroha will actually only elect people that are perceived to be elite and therefore won't represent the community. Mm. What would be your response to those thoughts that have come to us?
I haven't been involved in the discussions about what's going to happen after, because I think that's a bit premature. But from my perspective and being in a leadership position, the accountability is far, far more, personally, when you're in an iwi space and accountable to iwi than other leadership positions I've had, say, in an organisation or on a generic community board. You are not only, you hold the aspirations of your people at the forefront at all times. So I feel that there'll be dual accountabilities, and I'm confident that the best people will be put forward for these. And there'll be different skill sets needed, obviously.
Let's do it.
This model, Anna, and thank you for your submission. Under the model that's being proposed, how accountable will the two people who are accorded voting rights, if that's the way we go, how accountable will they be to the Te Aroha people?
I think they'll be accountable through the normal electoral processes. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, once you have an iwi leadership role, you don't take that hat off ever.
Okay, so you're accountable all the time.
24/7.
Okay, and if is this model that you're supporting going to give teeth to a meaningful involvement in the decision-making process? Is that Te Aroha's goal? Because we've heard all sorts of scaremongering, of fear, of takeover, power grabs, all sorts of things. I'd like your comments on that, because you're a woman at the forefront and in an important role in a decision-making in a business capacity.
I think this is a start.
It's a start.
This is a start. This is a good step forward, a positive step forward. Given the contentious nature of this conversation being opened up, I think the proposal at present is a good start. Obviously, full and meaningful partnership, as the previous submitter was talking about, is the ideal. But this is a good option.
Thank
currently.
You. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. And now you want to proceed to your personal submission.
That was all of mine.
That's all rolled into
one.
Well, you've got time for another couple of questions then.
Yes. Can you just advise how many people you represent for the Kotahi Tanga Ngāti Whakaue Essence Trust.
Well, there's about 8,000 Ngāti Whakaue
beneficiaries
in the census, but you'll be well aware that Māori don't generally fill in the census, so it's more than that.
Councillor Gould.
Chair, thank you, Anna, for your submission. I'm quoting from your private submission, submission number 1238 on page 143. You put down, I support Māori wards as an alternative to the proposed Te Aroha partnership model.
Yep.
At the present time, we've got 12 councillors elected at large and one mayor. What's your proposal if you go ahead with the ward system? How many councillors, how many ward...
I haven't thought about that as much because it was just the alternative. But, I mean, it's challenging because if you use the census, you're never going to get a true picture of actually the number of Māori or Te Aroha in the area. So it's, I think there's a lot more discussion to be had around how that could work. My preference is to do is the partnership model first and foremost, and if not, then secondly, try for Māori wards. But a meaningful partnership, I think, is the goal that we should be aiming for.
Thank you, Anna.
Kia ora.
Greg's not wanting to add anything.
No.
He's next.
Great.
Now we have Greg sitting next to Anna, to Kuiro Marae. Thank you. Now, we have these for simultaneous translation. You turn them on at the side. Just
unuhia. Unuhia te pau tapu, te mau, pau mua, te pau roto, te pau te wharaua. He aturangi mamao, heke iho e o ara. Tāki ki whara te ara o ngā toro, he ara whanau ki te pō. He pō nui, he pō roa, he pō mātire rau, e pō whaiariki. E ko taku waka ko te arawa, ngā hue te parata, eke panuku, eke tangaroa, haumie, huie, tāiki. Ko te whare whawha o te ao kapurangi tēnei. No reira kai aku nui, kai aku rahi, aku whakamataku, ngai tāua, ngai Pākeha, ngā kāranga ngā maha, tēnā tātou katoa. Kia koe te māreikura, Your Worship. Koutou rā ngā mema o te kaunihera nei, tēnei au e mihi ana. Ko wai tēnei ihu hupe. Ko Greg Allen tōku ingoa. Ko au tētehi kaitiaki o tōku marae o te kuirau. Arā ko te roroterangi. No ahi te reiria tōku pāpa. Auwe, yes, my father is Australian. No te arawa me ngā puhi tōku māma, engari he maha ngā hononga ōna ki ngā whenua o tā wāhi. Arā ko Ireland, ko Ingarangi, ko France, me Amerika hoki. No reira he āhua well-rounded tōku whakapapa. Ka hoki au ki tōku toto i konei, he uri tēnei a tama te kapua, heke iho ki a rangi tihi, heke iho ki atu haurangi, uunuku kōpako, whakaua kaipapa, tai noa ki tōku tūpuna ko te roro te rangi. I mate tōku tūpuna i konei te whenua nei e te ringa a tamamutu, ko te ingoa o tērā pakanga, ko tā whara kuru pēti, no reira, tino kaha tōku hononga ki tēnei pito whenua, me ngā whenua o Rotorua. Kei te tino tautoko hau i te tono tū haurua a Te Arawa. Ka huri au ki te reo prāwe nai ne. I support the Te Arawa partnership model. I support the Te Arawa partnership model because it will allow Te Arawa a stronger voice in the decision making of our city and region. Te Arawa, as we all know, or should know, have generously gifted and contributed so much to this beautiful city and region of ours. The obvious include our lakes, our rivers, our forests, our thermal parks, all named by our tūpuna, such as Ihinga and others. All these sites we are able to access at no charge. In our city, there are obvious street names, named after tūpuna who lived on the land. For instance, Te Pukuatua, Pukaki, who once stood here, so everyone knew who the land came from, Rangiuru, Whakaue's wife, to name a few. The breach of the Fenton Agreement was hugely detrimental to Te Arawa, and in particular Ngāti Whakaue. Without this breach, I think Ngāti Whakaue would be by far the biggest ratepayer in the region. As I said in my introduction, I'm a trustee of my marae te kuirau at Ōhinemutu. We have a main stormwater drain there that was put there by council. There is no paperwork to suggest any consent was given, although I'm guessing there could have been a gentleman agreement. Recently, we have been given a resource consent as we are wanting to develop our property, which includes building over the existing stormwater drain. It services many households in the area. The most annoying thing about the resource consent is that council expect the marae to relocate the stormwater and pay for all costs. I believe that a partnership between council and iwi would improve understanding and contribute to efficient development of Māori resources and assets. More recently, at a Te Arawa sport event, council wanted to charge descendants of the original landowners who gifted the land a hireage fee. A partnership, I believe, will enhance the culture of the council and therefore improve council systems and processes. It is also sad to hear local groups making statements like no free rides onto council. It's actually ironic that the Ngāti Whakaue Education Endowment Trust, on which I am a trustee, using their own private funds, provide a free bus service to the museum for all schools in Rotorua. So yes, Ngāti Whakaue is providing a free ride for our community. This same trust over the past 20 years has injected over $10 million into our local schools to support their literacy and numeracy programs. And do the participants have to be of Ngāti Whakaue descent? Kare kau, not at all. So, yeah, koina. I totally reject any claim that we are self-interested. Let us not forget who gifted the land for many of our schools. So it does grind me when I hear statements that Te Arawa are not contributing, that we are bludgers, that we expect undeserved special treatment. Some are worried about the partnership model, that it is too expensive to operate. My response to ratepayers not wanting to fit the bill, please remember that Te Arawa are part of this community too, and we also pay a significant proportion of rates. Some others claim that a minority group should not be given special privileges. There's no need to be fearful. These are not special privileges, and a partnership is a good thing. Insofar as Te Arawa being labelled a minority group, this is hugely insulting to me. However, the education required to enlighten ignorant and ill-informed people is not going to happen overnight. But they are welcome to visit my marae, and I am willing to assist them on their journey to understanding Te Arawa tanga. The Te Arawa partnership model is a positive kaupapa that will drive our community forward. That we as a community are not in fear or resistant to learning new things. That we are proud of our shared culture, excited to welcome visitors from near and afar, confident in sharing our Māori culture and also acknowledging all the hard work of all our ancestors. That our tamariki, our children, are proud to share their story about who they are and where they are from, especially when heading overseas as ambassadors of our city and country. To the councillors, I share with you a quote from Sir James Henare. Ko tawhiti kē tō haringa mai, kia kore e haere tonu, he tino nui rawa o mahi, kia kore e mahi nui tonu. You have come too far not to go further. You have done too much not to do more. To conclude, these are the words of my tūpuna Te Rorotirangi that I hold dear. Ruia taitea, ruia taitea. Kia tū ko tai kāka, ko a hauanake. You, the leaders of our beautiful city, stand tall. Be brave as you hold an extremely important key in your hand. And with one twist, you can make this city of ours an even better place to live. Tātou tātou. Kia ora tātou katoa.
Do we have any questions? Greg, one of the concerns is voting rights that seems to come through too. What's your view on voting rights for those on the council committees in this model?
Voting rights. I think it's a good thing, yeah.
I believe down at Ohene Mutu there were a lot of those Humbuwera Mitchell resource consents that went on down there, so I'm not surprised about your drain, that's for sure.
You going to sort it out for us?
No promises. Craig, thank you very much for your submission, obviously given to us with passion, and certainly the translator brought that across to us as well. So you see this as a first step, like Anna did, in terms of real engagement with teeth for a minority group that have a huge impact other than an interest group in the future of Rotorua.
I think it's a start. We don't need to look too far back to see where things have gone wrong. I think that's all.
Thank
I'll
you.
Say.
Gould.
Madam Chair, thank you, Greg, for your report. A lot of the community don't understand what Te Aroha are doing in the community, like the Educational Trust. My wife is a teacher, and she's been teaching, helping kids out the last 4 or 5 years through your program. Appreciate that. But do you think there's a solution way forward other than, you know, you've got one group who want one thing, the chair of people want another thing, but do you think there's a compromise somewhere in the middle which can be achievable by this community?
Definitely. I think, first of all, knowing who Te Aroha is, that's one step. The reason why, I suppose, who Te Aroha is, do we understand the relationship of Huringa Te Rangi to Ngāti Whakaue? Do we understand Rangi Wewehi's relationship to Ngāti Whakaue? Do we understand Ngāti Whakaue's relationship to Tu Haurangi, Rangi Tihi? These are the sorts of stories that our community do not know, and it's not necessarily our fault. It probably is the education system. But in my mahi that I do, especially with our young people, that's what we get to, knowing who they are, and for everyone to know that knowledge. You don't need to look far to know that to see streets like Hene Moa, Tutanekai, knowing who they are, and appreciating the our culture and our history. Sort of went off track there, but kia ora.
Councillor Maxwell.
Tēnā kōrua. Tēnā pai tō mahi. I was so pleased that both you and your wife, Anna, both mentioned the enormous contribution Ngāti Whakaue have given to the township from the beginning. The question I've got is, and you're both involved in many of the committees and the entities in Ngāti Whakaue, how have they felt about all the negative, unhelpful comments that has happened regarding this proposal?
I think, to be honest, a lot of them may not even know, because...
Oh, it might be good then.
A lot will not know, but I think whether it's this kaupapa, I think many will already feel aggrieved at a lot of things that have happened anyway. So for many, they may think, I really hope this is the one that's going to help us.
Thank you both for coming, and it's another perspective, and it's refreshing to see younger people feeling active in participation and consultation. Samantha White. Samantha, you got the lowdown there. And for us, it's submission 1221, page 140. Samantha, there's an on-off button there too, and you need to move the microphone in front of your... Just you can move the whole thing. Yep, great. Just relax. That's it. Thank you for coming.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Ngā mihi nui ki ngā tūpuna hoki, ko Samantha Waitoku ingoa e whanau mai ahau i ngā rangi, he uri ahau no te iwi hurai me te iwi arihi. Engari, kei te rohe o te arawa tōku kaina e nāinei. Greetings to you all, acknowledgements to those who have gone before us also. I was born in England, but my home is now in the region of Tauroa. From reading through the submissions online, those who have submitted no make me fear for the society I'm bringing my children up in. I put to you that the no's are showing a lack of basic understanding of the history of this country that many say that we're all one of. Reality is that we are not all equal in this country. We only have to look at the disengagement of Māori with politics and voting, the disproportionate numbers in the judicial system, and the unemployment stats. The widening educational gap between Māori and non-Māori. The educational system, one size fits all? No. Russell Bishop's extensive research project has proved that Māori and non-Māori benefit equally from a kaupapa Māori approach, whereas the westernised educational system sees the achievement gap widen. The judicial system is incorporating marae-based hearings for rangatahi with success. New Zealand tourism benefits from the unique position it has with Māori. As a relatively new citizen of Aotearoa, despite understanding the negative effects of the mishistory taught in schools for decades post-colonisation and the westernised norm which is pushed within the media, I still do not understand why, when anything to do with the indigenous population is raised, it appears to invite such negativity and horror from certain areas. And yet there is no bias in decision-making, no racism going on, no special measures needed here, thank you very much, the privileged white declare. What does the Environment Court know? White privilege, now there's a term that causes uncomfortable feelings amongst many, but it is just a term to cover the set of assumptions about what is regarded as neutral, normal and universally accessible. James Baldwin in the 2012 Constantine book said, "The biggest problem with white privilege is the invisibility it maintains to those who benefit from it the most." And the book goes on to say, "In New Zealand, white privilege evolved in colonial times, where structures were put in place that were designed to meet the needs of Pākehā settlers and marginalised Māori. Yet the systematic structural benefits remain invisible to Pākehā. Despite the promise of Tino Rangatira Tanga in 1840, this never eventuated. 175 years on, the idea of power sharing is still an anathema for many who have been victim of a miseducation by the state. This leads to the lack of a considered no being offered. The no's appear to have missed the point that the proposal is a considered one and probably have not even considered it is far from what Tino Rangatira Tanga promised their tūpuna all those years ago. Those in the no camp appear to be ignoring the legal obligations that are placed on council, their elected representatives. I also get the impression that these no's seem to have little confidence in the full council's ability to ratify decisions of committees, which have always been able to co-opt non-elected people. The proposal is not one-sided. It takes into account all parties rather than just pushing forward with just the needs of 13 individual iwi in mind. I also hope that the council's legal obligations will be the driving force behind the decision made, as if we look to these obligations and the recognised founding document of this country and white privilege, I should not be able to say to Tanata Whenua, those with mana whenua in this rohe, what's wrong with the Eurocentric format we have now? Your proposal is not acceptable. Because we in our position of white privilege have to trust we might not have the perspective to see things from an Indigenous perspective. That is the trust and respect we need to show in order to move forward as one. Mana whenua have said it is the one they consider to be the most workable, and that is why I implore on our elected body to do the same and to continue to work towards partnership and a better, more connected society for the next generations by doing what is right and accepting the proposal. As there is no risk to democracy, full council still has the final say in this model. The UN Declaration of Human Rights promotes Indigenous peoples' full and effective participation in all matters that concern them. Strong New Zealand evidence is out there that one size does not fit all, and a Eurocentric approach is not the only approach. Change can cause discomfort, but the discomfort does not mean that change is wrong or the needs of all cannot be met. The treaty is relevant today. It is a document which allows for both the Indigenous population and the non-Indigenous population's needs to be acknowledged and incorporated to work together. I hope for future generations, 2015 sees the Council make the right decision in the midst of a strong non-Indigenous majority wish for the status quo not to change, to listen to the statute they are bound by and accept what Manawhenua are suggesting. To accept is to enhance democracy. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa.
Thank you, Samantha. Questions? Councillor Stewart?
May we have a copy of your submission, please? Because you read it really quickly, and it was. I would like to look at it, and I wonder if you could give the committee clerk a copy. Could you just tell me how long you've been a member of, or lived in New Zealand?
Coming up 8 years.
And in that time, you understand the reo, and you've obviously studied the history of Te Arawa in this area to come up with a submission like that. So. I just want to congratulate you.
Kia ora.
Any other questions? Sorry. You might have to put your hand up further. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam
Roker.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Eurocentric, thank you for your submission and for the points that you've raised in it. And but Eurocentric, we're talking really there about a generational too. It's generational, some of the things that we've seen come through in the submissions. Are you saying that it's generational as well?
Well, I think for the mindset that there is, it's based on what has happened within the educational system, and that has been based on an Eurocentric, westernised viewpoint, and that comes through in what I've read of the submissions that say no.
Thank you.
Councillor Maxwell.
Thank you very much for your refreshing submission. I'm reading from your submission here, Samantha. It is of concern that elected body have agreed in principle with regards to this model, only to say that they might be swayed by comments made by the general public, which has a majority European descent. Yes, we did do that, but are you aware it had to go out for consultation for the wider public, even though there was a vote for 10-3? But it's of concern to you, and
yes.
I'd like to hear why.
Sorry?
You to expand a bit more.
Because of that mishistory that's been around influencing the general public. And so change always brings discomfort, and a lot of people are scared about what they don't understand fully. And I think if you do understand fully the history and where the country's been and where we've got to and the potential of going forward, then there's nothing to fear. But I think for a lot of people who don't understand, and I don't mean any disrespect by that, but don't understand the treaty because of what has been taught about it, they've got an understandable fear of what going forward could look like. I only see that it can enhance democracy.
Oh, thank you very much for your thoughtful submission. I just wondered, you mentioned you had children, I think. So what is your hope for the future of something like the Te Arawa proposal goes forward? What would you, have you had, I know it's just a bit on the spot, but have you, and don't answer if you don't want to, but do you have a picture of how it would help your children living in Aotearoa?
I think it benefits all future generations if the principles of partnership working are to go forward, because I think there's enough examples, and I gave those perhaps a bit rapidly, about education, the judicial system, and even tourism in Rotorua benefits from a Māori perspective. So I think there's a lot to be gained and a lot to be worried about if change doesn't happen.
Thank you, Samantha.
Kia ora.
And now we ask Malcolm Thomas. Hello, Malcolm. Hello. To the table. For councillors, at submission 1239, page 145.
Good afternoon. Can you hear me okay? Okay, I was prompted to write this submission after I heard a Rutherford lecture given by Dame Anne Salmon on the Whanganui River settlement, which had been signed between the Crown and Whanganui Iwi.
Malcolm, I wonder if you can bring your microphone a bit further forward. Everybody's... We're doing our best. It's very hard for people with notes in front of them to bring the microphone over their notes.
That's all right. Okay.
Thank you, Malcolm.
So, as I said, I was prompted to make this submission after I heard Dame Anne Salmon, or part of Dame Anne Salmon's Rutherford lecture on the Whanganui River settlement between the Whanganui Iwi and the Crown. And I subsequently actually downloaded her lecture and read it. And the basis on what she said was that decision-making does not have to be, quotes, on the basis that only one set of assumptions about the world can prevail. And in the context of the council's current decision-making process, currently the council and mayor, councillors and mayor who make decisions are elected on a one-vote, one-person basis. And therefore that's what we call the democratic process. And Dame Anne's argument was that it was possible to accommodate more than one set of assumptions when you're making decisions on behalf of the community. And so the proposal that is in front of the council in terms of the Te Arawa partnership model will in fact accommodate two assumptions. The first assumption is that the community whole is represented by the one person, one vote, and that's via the elected mayor and councillors. And this takes account of what we might consider as our Pākehā tradition. Secondly, the Te Arawa model, as proposed, is based on the assumption that a group can be represented by a non-democratic process. By that, what I mean is that it's not necessarily one person, one vote. And so the combination of the two actually is a partnership between two different views of the world, which we might loosely call a Pākehā view of the world and a Māori view of the world. And I consider this as a partnership in the true sense of the word. So that's basically why I made my proposal, because having listened to what she said, I was convinced that it was possible for organisations to make decisions representing two viewpoints. The other thing I mentioned in my submission is that the voting that Te Arawa would be accorded in the subcommittees is obviously limited, and you'll all be aware of the numbers, and therefore I couldn't see how having two Te Arawa representatives on any subcommittee could overrule the will of the majority of the elected representatives. So in the end, the one vote, one person, one vote, democratically elected representatives, their views would prevail. And therefore, I think the proposal as currently in front of the council should proceed. So that's basically the details of my submission. But I'd just like to make one other comment. In one of my other aspects of my life, I'm the treasurer of the Rotary Mountain Bike Club. And we work through the stakeholders in the Foka Forest on the provision of trails which are used by local people and also by people from overseas and, in fact, from throughout New Zealand and the rest of the world. And one of the things that our committee spends a lot of time on is liaising with the stakeholders in the forest and, in particular, iwi. And we've spent increasing amounts of time doing that over the last few years. And from where I sit, that is beneficial both to mountain biking community, to the wider Rotorua community in terms of economic development, and also I think it enhances the relationship that our club has with iwi, because both sides talk to each other and both sides attempt to arrive at agreed decisions, whether it's something as simple as what you name a track or something slightly more complicated as to where you route a track so that it doesn't go through any sacred sites. So that's not germane to my submission as such, but I think it's relevant in terms of thinking about partnerships. I'm happy to take any questions.
Have any questions? Councillor Stewart. Yeah,
the example that you just quoted with regard to the Whakarewerewa Forest in the Waipa area, do you see the similarities with the proposed model in that you work on the basis of trust, integrity and respect?
Yes, we do, but I think the other thing that's relevant is that when it comes to the naming of a new trail, the iwi as the landowners, that's their decision. We put up proposals, what we think it should be called, and at the end of the day, the iwi agree or disagree. For example, we built a new trail last year, which ended up being called Eagle versus Shark, which, if you know anything about New Zealand film, has got nothing to do with mountain biking, but the iwi were quite happy with that. And at the present moment, we're just in the process of starting building a trail which goes around the back of the Blue Lake too, and that's going to have a name that the iwi have proposed, which is, I don't know the local history, but it's something to do with somebody keeping a pet near the Blue Lake. So it seems to work that sometimes we get names that we like and sometimes they get names that they like.
Madam Chair, the whole thrust of your submission is that there are mechanisms in place, safety valves in place. If the two Te Arawa votes go awry on the committee, that the full council cannot abrogate its rights where it can overturn that a decision of that subcommittee. And we have plenty of history of that happening.
Well, I don't sit in on council meetings, but I presume that the full 14 people can vote on any subcommittee decision, and if they agree with it, it will go ahead, and if they disagree, it won't. Yeah.
Lord Donaldson, no names of mountain bike tracks.
No. Not interested in the names, I just like to ride them. Malcolm, I haven't read Dame Anne Salmon's ruling or judgment, but you have, obviously, and my question is it her view and is it your view that accommodating two sets of assumptions in terms of making decisions results in better decisions on behalf of the community? Is that what you're saying?
That's the gist of what I read. This is her view. It's not a decision that she's arrived at, but it's a view that she put across when she gave this lecture, and it was specifically about the Whanganui settlement between the Crown and iwi. And the thrust of her argument was that because both viewpoints were considered, the outcome was better for both parties.
Thank you for coming and thank you for your submission. For those in the audience, we now break for afternoon tea and we'll reconvene at 2:45 in the hope that the later submitters are here a little bit early. Kia ora.
That's right.